Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, happy day, and welcome to Walking with A Course in Miracles. I am your host, Christina Callender. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. Walking with A Course in Miracles is a new show that will be exploring how students of the Course are able to practice and really implement the teachings found within it into their everyday lives. I have been a Course student since 2007, and I will be speaking with fellow students from all walks of life about their challenges, experiences, and practices as they learn to follow the guidance of their inner teacher within the idea that only love is real. Before we begin, let me tell you just a little bit about Christina Callender. Currently, I am exploring being an entrepreneur and investor. I have been self-employed for several years, but owning your own job is very different than building business, I'm finding out. I thoroughly enjoy consistently educating myself with regular intensive learning seminars, workshops, one-on-one coaching, and reading book after book. My dad has been an inspiring example of a consistent learner. He is most alive when he has the opportunity to put into action something he has recently learned. He seems to get younger all the time, and I know I share his love of learning. Professionally, I own and operate a process serving company, personally serving legal documents in over 40 cities across southwestern Ontario. I also, for just over 2 years now, have been learning the real estate investment game with my husband. We have had great fun putting our learning into action, building our business foundation and power team, and by following a system step by step, we now happily own and manage 3 properties consisting of 13 units. One of my greatest loves in this world is playing the role of wife to my husband, Brad, and mother to my 2 children, Josh and Holly. My family provides me with endless patience, willingness to try and understand, and they allow the room for me to take the time to grow and learn within the relationship of living together. They also, of course, provide unlimited opportunities to experience and walk with the concepts of the Course. Today, I am very pleased to be sharing this time on Walking with A Course in Miracles with my guest, Tina Heathers. Tina Heathers has an MBA with several years' experience in business management and corporate training, but her passion lies in the study of metaphysics and the nature of personal reality. She has spent many years studying human potential and the keys to success. Along with her business career, she has been working in the field of spiritual healing and mental-emotional well-being. She teaches meditation and spiritual awakening, using her meditation practice to further her spiritual studies. A longtime student of A Course in Miracles, she now integrates this material as the basis of her personal coaching. Working with individuals and organizations, she assists people to discover their inner greatness so that they may create lives of love, joy, peace, and abundance. Tina, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chris. It's good to be here.
Great. So today, Tina, let's get right into it, and let's talk about the illusion and projection in this world. In the introduction of A Course in Miracles, it states, "The Course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. This Course can therefore be summed up very simply in this way. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God." And from what we understand, from that we understand that only love is real. So what is everything else that we think we see? A Course in Miracles speaks of the illusion that we project. Is this how these blocks are established? And can you explain why this projection seems to occur?
Well, Chris, that was really a mouthful. There was so much in all that you just read. I don't know where to start. But the core of that is about love. And I think that with all the stuff that I have done and all the people that I've worked with, unfortunately, love seems the hardest thing to grasp. There are so many mixed messages about love. So what the Course is talking about is that we have this inherent state of love, that love isn't just a fleeting emotion that, you know, when you're with somebody or you have an event or somebody does something good that you feel loving towards them. that it's not just an emotion we experience, that love is actually our core state of being, that is our authentic, eternal self. And that's the thing we want to get more in touch with. But because we're so alienated from that, we're all sort of running around trying to figure ourselves out. And so what the projection is we're trying to make an artificial world. We create this illusion to put meaning into it or to try to figure out what life is all about. And we're creating all these scenarios to try to make up for this last or this long lost feeling of love. We don't quite understand what's wrong in our lives, so we make this huge elaborate delusion and we strive for this or we try to find loving feelings. And so what it's saying is we have this authentic condition of love, which is where we truly reside. But when we can't feel that or find that, everything else that we experience is made up stuff in the mind to try to overcome what we're missing. So all the things in this world, and again, this is one of the reasons why Course in Miracles is really hard to work with, because it's basically implying that, you know, our jobs and career and everything that we've created in this world is an illusion of the mind that we're manufacturing to make ourselves feel good. And people just don't like the implication that our lives are kind of, all this stuff that we think is important is actually meaningless. And so that's a hard bit to swallow in the sort of understanding of the Course, that none of that matters. Only love is real. Only the authentic state of love that we came from matters. The rest of the stuff are just little mind games that we're playing to amuse ourselves.
And do we, while we're playing these games, do we have some sense of guilt about it that we need to project out of us? It says in chapter 13, the ultimate purpose of projection is always to get rid of guilt. So is that guilt already in us?
Okay, so guilt is core concept in A Course in Miracles. So what it says is from the original state of love, when we kind of got lost and we're feeling bad and we're trying to find our way and to create these other lives, it's all based on this deep-seated feeling of guilt that we left our divine state or we left God or we abandoned it or we gave it up. And so the whole illusion, the whole world that we live in and experience every single day is founded on the emotion of guilt. So most people don't realize it, but the majority of their actions and their experience of life is rooted in guilt. Now, it's hidden nicely, so it doesn't look quite as ugly, but people, if they really stop to think about it, so many of the things they do and the feelings they have about themselves come from this underlying core feeling of guilt from which we manufacture the whole illusion, the whole game of life. And the whole world functions on guilt. We manipulate people by guilt. We love people and we guilt them into stuff. We imply that if you really loved me, you would do this. And so there's this sense of obligation. And because we don't like this guilt feeling within us, we project it out into the world and out onto others. And what happens is it passes this ugly feeling onto somebody else through the extension of guilt, which turns into blame. So if I'm feeling kind of guilty about something and not feeling good, and I don't want to feel that way, it's so much better if I can just blame you because you did this. If you were a better friend, then I wouldn't feel this bad, and it's your fault. So we're always looking to blame somebody else, either the people in our lives, the people at work, the government, like you name it. We want to project that out to make ourselves feel better. And so it's everywhere, and people just don't often realize how deeply embedded in the game of guilt they are.
And so we think we're actually getting rid of this guilt when we project it out, but it says here, but you are actually merely concealing it, and you touched on that as well. So we're not even getting rid of it, we're just hiding it from ourselves.
Well, yes, as humans we are masters of denial, and so we don't like to admit the feeling. So if we say it's somebody else's fault, we blame them, so we don't have to take responsibility for our guilt feelings. But then what happens is we spread it around like some nasty disease. So by the time I feel bad and, you know, I go home and blame my kids because now I'm angry and irritated because they've been bothering me or they got bad behavior. And so every time I throw it onto somebody else, they feel bad because I just blame them and I'm making them feel guilty for their crappy behavior. Now they actually feel bad. And so they don't want it either, and so they all turn to a sibling and take their anger out on them or blame them or justify their anger because they shouldn't have been doing it, and they'll just pass it on. And then the kid passes it to somebody else or passes it to another parent or passes it to a friend. So we're rolling this stuff around endlessly, the guilt, blame thing, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger till it's everywhere. Right, but we just seem to not be able to admit. If somebody just admitted, oh my God, I really feel guilty about that. You know what? Maybe I screwed up. And they don't pass it on. Things would really change. We wouldn't be circulating this horrible feeling around to everybody, perpetuating the lies and the myths that are wrapped up in guilt.
Right. So we continue with this strange behavior, we get in a cycle of it and don't really know how to get out of it. In chapter 13, it says, much of the ego's strange behavior is directly attributed to its definition of guilt. To the ego, the guiltless are guilty. Those who do not attack are its enemies, because by not valuing its interpretation of salvation, the ego's interpretation of salvation, they are in an excellent position to let it go. This is quite a tricky statement. The guiltless are guilty to the ego. Can you help us work through that idea a bit?
Yeah, that's the fun thing about the Course. There's so many of those twisted statements that it gets kind of difficult to see the difference. But in the ego's world, guilt is important, and the ego strives on a regular basis to make us feel bad about who we are. So the ego wants to, you know, kind of erase from your mind that other state of being loved so that you can be caught up in the mind game created by the ego. So the ego will strive at every moment to make you feel guilty or feel bad and to blame other people. So the ego feeds quietly in your subconscious mind the guilt, blame, and it encourages it, and it whoops it up and spreads it around. And so what happens is, you know, the ego's interpretation of the guiltless are the people who are not playing the game. Now, here's the problem for the ego, because if you're not playing the game and you're not throwing guilt and volleying it back and forth with me, you're actually going to feel good. And you're actually going to feel love. And you're going to start to have this awareness that the world of the ego is a lie. So subconsciously, this sort of ego feeling that we live in identifies that person as not playing the game. Thus, in the ego's world, that person, the guiltless person, needs to be made guilty because the ego needs to make their position wrong. And in our society, the people that are the most loving and are not caught up in this stuff about obligation and blame, we're suspicious of them because they're too nice or they're naive or they're living in a dream world. And so we have these ego feelings that come up and say, that's fake, that's false, that can't be true, they're not playing the game. We must get them into the game and to feel bad. Otherwise, the ego does not maintain control. There's a fear from the ego that if that person gets free, they could start something that would destroy the ego's hold on us as a humanity.
Right. Okay, so we're so programmed, though, to throw that guilt out there and project it out and blame everybody else for what's going on in our lives. We can understand that there needs to be a different way to look at it. What process do you use as you walk through the Course to first become aware of the illusion and how you are perceiving things, and then to ultimately see past the illusion and see things differently through Christ's eyes? Because this ego world of guilt and blame is just so in our face.
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. So one of the cool things about the Course is once you start to work with the philosophy of the Course, it's actually incredibly healing. You feel lighter, more joyful, and everything in your life changes. And so it's not just the metaphysics and the, you know, theology of it that's interesting. It actually is transformational. So what happens is, you know, the workbook is great for every day there's a new lesson, and you just kind of think it through, and it starts to unwind the mind, and it's starting to help us see guilt differently. And so what it does is it kind of teaches us that if you could begin to see yourself and everybody else around you as guiltless, which means they're not really to blame for the stuff they're doing because they actually don't know any better. Right? And so we're each making decisions based on what we think is best at the moment. Now, it might not be healthy, and it might be selfish, and it might not be the greatest decision in the world, but in the moment, I don't have that perspective. I make the best decision I can, and as it plays out, I might go, ah, crap, yeah, that wasn't very nice. That person got all upset. So really, everything we're doing is a learning curve. We're watching our own reactions. We're watching what we say. We're watching how other people respond. And if I could just say to myself, wow, okay, interesting learning opportunity. That person reacted poorly. I think I hurt their feelings. So what I said was appeared to be insensitive. So if I took it all as a learning opportunity and I didn't turn it into, oh, my God, I'm a horrible, rotten person. Look what I did. And then it's kind of like, oh, I don't want to feel that bad. Now I'm going to blame them. Well, they shouldn't have been like that, and they should have been making different decisions. If I can stop feeling guilty, putting the blame on myself, I won't have to throw it out. If I could just learn about each thing I'm doing in the day is purely a true learning opportunity, and I can say, wow, I don't like the outcome, I can apologize to the person and say, man, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. But I can, to myself, I can say, note to self, don't speak like that. Don't say that. Don't do that. That person doesn't enjoy it. Purely a learning opportunity. I give myself permission to make mistakes. And then there's no gut rot feeling that I need to vent on somebody else. So it makes my day easier, lighter. There's no impending doom about what a horrible person I am. Now, if I can turn that around and do the same to everybody else, so the nasty boss at work who said something and hurt my feelings, if I can say, okay, no guilt. Obviously, they said something. They're learning from it. They didn't realize the outcome. I'm sure they didn't mean to directly hurt me. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, that learning opportunity for them. Hope they learn. If not, no big deal. But I'm not going to blame them and make them a rotten, nasty person and take that hurt on personally. And now I have some, you know, just resentment towards that person that now needs to have blame and toss it out on them. So if we can stop that cycle of making other people feel bad, needing to blame them, right, we stop that from projecting onto others and doing it to ourselves, man, everything in your day would just be lighter and fresher. And we wouldn't have this constant heavy sense of criticism for others and fighting the world and fighting ourselves. It would change the way we lived and breathed every single day.
Mm-hmm. So it's not even solely just about how we act or what we say, but it's also about how we accept what other people give to us.
Yeah, Chris, absolutely. And it's our reaction to that. If I cannot react and just think, what up with that person? They must have had a bad day. And I just let it go, then the issue dies. But if I let them hurt me and now I looked hurt, they might have to go, oh, my God, did I just hurt their feelings? And now we're both circling through these nasty hurt emotions and we're playing out this drama and they're going to feel guilty, but they don't want to feel guilty, so they're going to blame me. I'm going to be hurt, so I'm going to blame them. And then it just continues to play. So even my reaction to what somebody else says or does will subconsciously fuel the blame and guilt game. So nobody is completely innocent of this. It's not one person doing it. no matter what somebody else does, if I don't take that on and react, it can't perpetuate. So by changing what I do and not responding negatively to the way other people do things, we can just end it. It can just stop.
Mm-hmm. And A Course in Miracles and walking with the ideas in A Course in Miracles can really help you with that. It states in the preface that it is the Holy Spirit's goal to help us escape from the dream world by teaching us how to reverse our thinking and unlearn our mistakes. Forgiveness is the Holy Spirit's great learning aid in bringing this thought reversal about. However, the Course has its own definition of what forgiveness really is, just as it defines the world in its own way. Can you, Tina, share with us a little bit about what this different idea of forgiveness is and expand on how we can implement it into those daily encounters of blame and guilt?
Yes, absolutely. The Course has an amazing interpretation of forgiveness that is so different than the ego world and so different than everything we see in life. Generally in life, what happens if somebody offends us or does us wrong or does something bad, what happens is we declare it first. Okay, that was nasty. You shouldn't have done that to me. But being the better person, being the good Christian, however we want to look at it, I'm going to first say you did me wrong, but being the better person, I will forgive you, right? So it's still this declared statement of blame. You did me wrong. Let's make sure everybody knows that. And now, from a superior ego standpoint, I am going to forgive you. In the Course, that's not how it looks at all. In the Course, it says, ooh, okay, that happened. I know you're just learning. I know you're doing the best you can, so no worries, buddy. It doesn't matter. I won't store it. I won't remember it. It is completely washed away. Right? You know what? Let's try our relationship again. No grudge. There's nothing held. There's no guilt. You know what? Learning curve of life, whatever happens. And if I don't store it as a wound at all, then they don't need to feel any guilt from me. Because it's like, yeah, no problem. So it is this completely different thing that I'm not even justifying the wound. I'm saying there was no wound. Whatever they said, I don't know why they said it, but it did not wound me. If I don't store the wound from what somebody else did, it negates it. So nobody needs to carry guilt, and nobody needs to be throwing blame around because the wound becomes unreal and meaningless.
Mm-hmm. And the Course states that what you just said by saying all this, we must learn to forgive, not because we are being good and charitable, but because what we are seeing is not true. It's all just the illusion.
Right, and that's the tricky part, right? The Course says the only thing that matters is love. In the end, all you will ever remember is love. So these pretend wounds or these things that we're acting out are all illusions. So why we can learn to forgive this person in the sense that, no worries, buddy, it's like it never happened, I'm not storing it, is because the truth is it never did happen. We are making these mind projections in our mind, creating these little dramas where people hurt our feelings and people are mean, and we're projecting all of that out because we've forgotten that we live in a state of pure love where that stuff does not happen. We're only making it happen because it matches our feelings of guilt. And so I know that part's really sort of hard to grasp, but the working of it, the walking of it is trust that everybody's doing the best they can, and inside everybody is amazing amounts of love, and what you're seeing isn't real. They're not actually doing that, that you are part of the scenario that's creating these negative images to somehow figure it out for yourself. And none of it matters at all.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so in chapter 21, in section 2, A Course in Miracles gives us a way out of this judgment and projection by having us take responsibility for our own sight. And it states in section 2 there, I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve. And everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. After that, deceive yourself no longer that you are helpless in the face of what is done to you.
Oh, yeah, you're picking all the heavy ones, Chris. I love this. It is 100, you know, it's declaring 100% responsibility. I am 100% responsible for my life, and I'm going to see it as it is and work to change it. And so the Course is saying here that we have a part in this world drama, that that same person wouldn't even be perceived to be hurting us if we didn't feel guilty and believe people are going to hurt us. So that the scenarios that are playing out around us with our family and friends, we're calling them in, and we're interpreting them in hurtful ways where a person may not have meant that at all. And so the Course has this principle that says, you know what, you can't be blaming the world for this. Blame is irrelevant here, because anything that's happening to you, you are asking for and playing it out. Now, this is really tricky in a society that, you know, we have so much about the victim, and it can get, you know, very weird if people were going to discuss it. But it's not something we want to go out and prove. It's something we want to personally work with. What would happen to my life if I really began to take 100% responsibility for my interactions, the things that are happening to me, and my interpretation of the world? And if I learn to see it differently, if I constantly ask for perspective, divine perspective, to see things differently, I will be able to undo some of these nasty illusions that are playing out in my life. And that's the magic, that's the gift, that's the miracle that transforms our lives into beautiful and happy experiences and releases the tricky, painful illusions that have been dogging us.
And the freedom that just comes from taking on that responsibility. Society would have us believe that that's just not even possible for us to be responsible for what's going on in our world. But when we do take on that responsibility and choose to see things differently, the freedom, the feeling freedom that it creates is just incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. And freedom is such an amazing goal, to go through each day feeling free of the burdens of life, free of the obligations to meet other people's expectations, free of that sense of guilt and not meeting up to, you know, things you think you should, just free to be and experience love and to sort of find your higher self. And that higher level of living is a beautiful thing, but it takes facing head on some of these skeletons and dark thoughts and scary places that many people live. We need to have the courage to face that, to see these sort of demon thoughts for what they are and realize their faults and let them go.
Mm-hmm. And it's great to know that we just always have the help of the Holy Spirit. Anytime we remember to ask, the Holy Spirit is there to help guide us. And as we walk with the Course in Miracles, practicing forgiveness and removing our judgments and taking responsibility for our experience, we gradually become what A Course in Miracles refers to as a happy learner. And being the happy learner, it's just not such a struggle to, you know, because it is an illusion, it's not real, and the drama isn't what's important. Sending love and forgiveness is what's important, and when you can learn how to do that, it just is a very comforting feeling, just accepting that you're a happy learner, and this is what you're here to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Tina, our time has just flown by tonight, and we're out of time, because the half hour is up. I really want to thank you for joining me again. This has been really great speaking with you. And can you let us know what your contact information is, your website is, in case anyone wants to see more of what you've written and think about A Course in Miracles?
Yep, absolutely. I have a website, which is thesilencewithin.com, and there I post my workshops and some Course in Miracles information, and my email. If anybody has any questions, feel free to email me, and I would love to share with people about the Course in Miracles.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being with us, Tina, and have a great night. Happy day.
Okay, thanks so much, Chris. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.